This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 315 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from shuddersincpodcast.com, and joining me via Skype from Melbourne once again from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
You know, I've come up with an idea.
Oh, okay.
On how we can become a more popular podcast.
Oh, that's just not even achievable.
I have this. I had the evidence last week.
Right. Okay.
Last week, no podcast.
Right.
You announced on Facebook that there was no podcast.
Yep.
That got more likes than when we post that we have a podcast. When we don't record,
yep,
more people like us.
Right. So record less often.
I think we should start, because I know you've got the little PayPal thing down the bottom there. Feel free to donate to kind of help keep the thing running.
Yeah. Nobody ever donates.
Maybe you could put up something like, you know, donate or we will record.
maybe that would work.
A bit of reverse psychology. I am well, my friend. I'm sorry about last week. It was crazy week.
Yeah,
and
right.
I ended up having to talk to a camera club on the night that we normally do our talk, and the rest of the week didn't work. So,
fair enough.
Just one of them there things.
Yeah, cool. And which camera club?
The one I spoke at.
Yeah. was that memorable, huh?
No, it was Rosanna. Rosanna.
There's
camera.
A song in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was a nice night.
Cool.
I did my usual over-the-top personality thing going on.
Right.
Blasting.
Tell some dad jokes.
I'm there. I thought I'd get there. I always get everywhere early. It's my nature. And right. I'm in the room. I'm helping set up chairs. And I'm just chatting like I do.
Yeah.
And this guy walks out from the back room with all this audio, you know, mics and speakers and stuff. Walks out, gets halfway out, goes, "Oh, we won't need these tonight." Just so loud. Save me setting up, he says, and walks out.
Nice.
Which I thought was that was classic. So that was fun. So I had camera club talk. I've had three one-on-one mentoring sessions.
Wow.
Since we last talked.
Wow.
I know, I'm working like crazy. So I've worked twice this – well, that's not true. I've worked once this week already, and I'm working again tomorrow.
Right.
As I said before, I've taken the weekend off to make up for it.
Fair enough.
We've gone crazy. So I worked 5 hours yesterday. I've got to work 5 hours tomorrow.
Yeah, right.
You know, some people.
That's got to hurt.
I've heard this is true. Some people actually work every day.
Yes, that is true.
I was fortunate yesterday. We're doing a one-on-one mentoring session in the city, and I managed to get into town an hour before I needed to start because, as I said, and aforementionedly, I like to get in places early. Gave me time for a 1 hour nap.
Right.
1 hour nap per 5 hours of working.
In the car.
Yeah, in the car. Set the alarm, have a nap. That's not a bad ratio, 1 to 5.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did have to have had two naps today to make up for work yesterday.
Right.
And I've run two flash workshops this last two set days. So that's been, they're always a little bit.
They weren't that good.
So they were pretty flash. You set them up, I knock them down. They're always fairly mentally challenging. They're like some artist workshops to run because trying to explain fairly complex process to people,
yeah,
as opposed to natural light, which is, look at that light. Oh, yes, I see it.
Yeah.
Just pretty easy. I had an interesting thing yesterday, though. I must mention and chat about before we go on.
Right.
During the one-on-one mentoring session,
yeah,
she pulls out a bag. She goes, "Look, I brought my old Canon 5D Mark III along."
Right. What's her new camera?
Exactly. And she goes, "Because I've got this new camera." She starts undoing the bag. And she goes, "I'm thinking there might be something wrong with it. I can't see it." I said, "Oh, have you got a Canon 5DS, have you?" She goes, "Yeah, that's the new one I've got." I said, "Oh, let me guess, the photos aren't sharp?" She goes, "Yeah, how'd you know?" I said, "It's too many megapixels." She goes, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, it's too many megapixels. It amplifies every little mistake you make is amplified."
Right.
Every flaw in your lens that you may have is amplified.
Right.
So the percentage of good shots is going to get into the gurgler.
Is this the 48 megapixel?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're not shooting on a tripod, yeah, and yeah, with no, with mirror lockup and all that, you're going to get not as sharp of photos.
But that's, you're only going to pick up on that if you're looking at it at a 100% view ratio. And how often are you going to do that?
She picked it up straight away. Oh, my photos aren't as sharp. Bang. Yeah.
Pixel peeping gone mad.
Hey, but I said straight away. But it's true, though. Yeah. It's true. I when I shoot with the lens baby stuff.
Yeah, but my point is, if you took one of those images and you exported it, you know, 2,000 pixels along the long edge, ready to go up to Facebook, as, you know, 90% of the images that people take, that's where they end up, I'll guarantee all those flaws would be no worse by the time they've been scaled down to that size than if you just took them on any regular 24 megapixel camera.
But note, she's never seen those problems with a 5D Mark III.
Okay.
She's never seen unsharp images as often as she has been shooting with a 5D Mark III for 4 years,
right,
3 years it was, and now she's looking at her images and lots are soft.
Yeah, okay.
And no, and to the point, well, hey, if they look soft, guess what?
They are soft.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll leave that one in the bag all day and shoot with your old one. So she did. So you want better photos? Use your older gear. So, but just the point of it being, once again, just throwing money at this hobby,
yeah,
doesn't necessarily mean it's going to solve all your problems. It may just create different ones,
yeah,
or you know, create other issues. Yeah, simply just having the latest,
yeah,
become a better shooter and shoot with whatever.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about camera gear a little bit later on. I've got another thing on camera gear.
Okay.
But yeah, but that was kind of interesting, I thought.
Mm.
I've been doing a 5-day black and white challenge. Yeah, there's internet
I
things.
Know. They've been sensational images.
Oh, mate, wait till we see tomorrow's. I've left the best for last.
Excellent.
Yes, you do. Yeah. It's hard to pick. Yeah. When they say one black and white photo a day for 5 days, it's hard to pick your best ones. Yeah. Yeah. You've got to sort of build to a crescendo. It's like choosing albums for and songs for an album. You know, what order you put them in?
Like picking your desert island list.
But do they flow from one song to the next? All that kind of stuff. You know, there's got to be some continuity to your songs. So it's been tricky. Yeah,
yep.
I've had some. I've had to really think, which is it's a bit of a stranger thing. I've had to really think and. Really just sort of, put some thought into why I shoot the way I shoot. It's been kind of cool.
Excellent.
I don't normally partake in those sort of things. I'm not much of a joiner.
Right.
Yeah. I went to a concert on Saturday night. We met some friends from the school group.
Yeah.
And it was like, clapping for the encore. And Michael and the guys at the Comers looked at me and says, why aren't you clapping? I said, I don't group clap. I have lots of rules. I have lots of rules, especially for going to concerts and music.
Right.
And one is I don't group clap, you know. I don't like encores. I think encores are just a ridiculous waste of – I'm missing out on songs.
Yeah.
If you want to hear people clap, you're coming out anyway, whether we clap or not.
Yeah, it's become a bit of a cliche now, hasn't it?
It's in front of me. I can see it on the set list. You're coming out. Imagine if you hadn't gone for that 5 minutes off stage. That's another song. In fact, the band I was seeing, there's a saying about their songs. If you don't like the song they're playing, wait a minute. Because most of the songs, they go like 90 seconds.
Right.
So if they're off for 5 minutes, that's three songs.
Yeah, right.
Three extra songs I could have had. Yeah, forget the song called crap. Does Bruce Springsteen do encores?
Yes, he does.
I don't think he does he?
Yeah, he does. Bruce,
does he really? That's ridiculous.
And they're serious encores. Like, his are 8-song encores.
That's what I'm saying. I thought I was going to have some respect. I was saying on Saturday night, I said, one of the things I like about Bruce Springsteen, he doesn't do encores. He just says, well, I'm playing until I'm finished, and I'm finished.
Yeah. But it's like 3 sets.
And then he gets off. But it might be 3.5. Well, that can be different, yeah. But it's not like an encore per se, as in it's a little break in performance.
Yeah.
Because this band had a break. They went for 2.25 hours, and they took a 15-minute nap.
Right.
In between. Well, yeah, most of the bands, if you like, dude, are getting on in years.
Yeah.
You can tell they're old when the concert venue opens at 8.
Yeah.
Instead of like 11 like they used to. Yeah.
Hey, mate, we're going to see Fleetwood Mac on Saturday night, and I think they're coming on at 7:30.
Oh. have you got your little Zimmer frame?
I don't need one.
aren't all supporters and followers? No,
don't know.
No, I've heard they're very good this time.
Yeah, I've heard good things about the tour, so looking forward to it. It's actually Kath's birthday present. Her birthday was back in May.
Is it?
And I bought the tickets for her. I said, "This is your birthday present, but you won't get it for 5 months." So.
Oh, that's nice, though.
Yeah.
A lovely night out. A lovely night out.
Yeah.
And what else have I been,
so what have you got on your list?
I've been up to? Oh, I got invited today to speak at an international education conference next year.
Right.
Yeah, of like real teachers, not faux teachers like myself. They're real people.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's kind of interesting. Some big. It's where? Called, I can't remember what it's called now. Sunshine Coast, funnily enough.
Right. North of Brisbane, for those who don't live in Australia.
It's what's it called? It's Educate Me, Edu yourself. No, I've forgotten already. You know, it's such a big. So Educate Plus. There you go.
Right.
Educate Plus conference.
Excellent.
Kind of interesting. Well, we'll see if it fits in my schedule. I'm not sure if it's going to fit in my schedule right now, but
okay.
Oh, because I might be overseas.
Yeah.
But other than that, you know, it'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, right.
What else have I been doing? And today, whilst I was doing a bit of research between naps, because I've been doing a bunch of stuff for trips and stuff, I found this 1930s movie footage, like a tourist's movie footage of India.
Oh, okay.
In quite a few of the locations we're going to.
Wow.
And it's all walking around. It's awesome stuff. It's like, you know, going to the cats on the River Ganges in Varanasi. Yeah.
Right.
And there's this 1930s footage, just seeing how little's changed, but how different everything looks as well.
Yeah, right.
You know, it was just kind of cool. So that was a really kind of a cool thing to think. Speaking of really old things,
yeah,
somebody posted a photo of me, my school photograph and my school pictures from 1977 on the internet.
Oh, so that was somebody else who've posted it?
Yeah, somebody else posted it, and I put it up to, someone's, because it was the 70s, I had fairly long hair,
yep.
And our lovely friend David Frog Clark
has put up
my photo of me the following year. It's Hermione from Hogwarts, which I think is hilarious. But our good friend Mike Holman probably won the best. He said it was an all-girls school.
No.
So that was kind of funny to see. And then last week I met with the travel agent to discuss Ethiopia.
Right.
The Ethiopia tour, because these guys are specialists in that area. It's not, yeah.
I don't think they're real big on photography over there, mate.
and he came up with these other cool ideas for me. So he's got this, he does this thing, he said, because this, you know, these are specialist travel agents who do kind of weird stuff, not just your normal, you know, stuff.
Yeah.
So he's trying to throw me these other tour ideas. He goes, why don't you do something like this and something like this? So one of them was your own private train from Russia to Beijing.
Wow.
Your own train. And, but because it's a big expense, they sort of, there's lots of other small groups sort of join on board as well.
Right.
And this is what they do. They travel along and they'll pull into this town. It's run by the Germans. Pull into the town and they'll have all these little buses there waiting for you in the town.
Yeah.
And it's buses for different sort of things you might want to do. You might want to learn about cooking. You might want to learn about craft or photography. You might want to photograph villages or whatever. And you jump onto your buses and they take you out to these locations and come back to the train and keep on going and stuff.
Wow.
So Russia, from Moscow to Beijing.
That would be epic.
Quite amazing, hey?
Yeah.
Then he says, I should go up and do the eagle hunters in Mongolia. And he says, they have this festival out in the outer steppes in Mongolia.
Wow.
And he says, well, all the tribes come from this particular time of year with their horsebacks on horsebacks. Yeah. They hunt with eagles. They're these trained eagles.
Yep.
They'll come in and do these like feats of strength and stuff, you know.
Wow.
So that'd be really cool. You know, you get this, and look at some photos. They're quite amazing looking photos.
Yeah.
Then he goes, then we've got this trip. We get this Russian icebreaker. We go up the coast of Russia through the pack ice to where Russia and Alaska almost meet. It's like a 9-kilometer gap.
Yeah.
He says, at a certain time of year, all the Inuit Indians from Russian area, from all the islands from Alaska, they all travel to this one little location and have a big Olympics type of thing, but for all the Inuits and all their traditional arts and games and stuff.
Yeah, right.
And you have to sleep on the icebreaker because there's no infrastructure whatsoever on land. It's just land.
Yep.
You know. He goes, well, that's just some of the things we can do. I go, oh my god.
Wow.
So I've got 2017 planning, 2018.
Nice.
quite amazing stuff. So it's amazing when you get out of the way of these more traditional travel agents, just some of the stuff people are doing.
Yeah, right.
Who would have thought you can go get your own train?
That's amazing.
And he goes, for a basic package, you're going to probably have about $10,000 for 14 days. Plus airfares to get there, to go on this train from Moscow to Beijing. I'm going, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
It's not too expensive at all, you know?
Yeah, right.
So it was kind of cool.
Wow.
Now, I've been battling tennis elbow. Well, now I've got it in both elbows.
Oh, right.
I've got tennis elbows now.
Right.
So now I'm trying to walk around with these, doing these one-on-ones the last couple of days. My arms have just been in burning pain. I could hardly even lift my camera to my face again.
Wow.
So, that's a little, not good. A little bit of trouble.
So what's causing it? Playing too much tennis, obviously.
I think it's the new 6S Plus iPhone I got. It's bigger and even heavier.
Right.
And it's not only taking out the one arm, it's taking out the other arm now because it's twice as big. You've got to hold it with both arms.
Right.
Just quietly, just between me and you, it might be that.
Right.
And just two more things about my week and stuff, and then we'll get on to a few other bits and pieces. Remember, I got these new Godox battery packs we were talking about, and we'd get the USB adapter and so on. Still haven't got the USB adapter. I forgot to get it from them when they were over at the show. But I've ran two flash workshops the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I've done, like I said, three or four one-on-one sessions with quite a bit of use of flash.
Yep.
So I got this battery pack out of the box, didn't charge them up. I used them for 3 days shooting at the digital show, so 9 classes at the digital show.
Yep.
5 or 6 events since then. The things are still either showing still full power or 3/4 power.
Wow.
These things don't run out.
That's insane.
Don't run out. I don't know what I have to do. The guy from KL, the importer, said, you should run the battery down, run them out so you can recharge them, okay, so that'll get the best use out of them.
Yeah, right.
So I sat there with a full power flash for, half an hour, just going bang, 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 bang. It's a charge of 1 a second, so I'm doing 60 a minute for half an hour.
Jeez.
And so I got so bored, and plus the internal batteries are getting so hot on the damn flash.
I was going to say, you just about cook your flash unit.
And there's no, it's still in full power.
Wow.
And that's all these events. I just don't know what to do. They'll never run out.
Wow.
Crazy stuff. So if you're looking for some serious, we're going to talk later on about this travel memory transfer kit we're talking about.
Yeah,
this
right.
could be a standard solution as well.
Wow.
And the last thing I want to talk about is it the Golden K?
Was it Golden K? Yeah, I think so.
The Rule of K? Whatever it was. We set a certain somebody a challenge.
It was the Golden K. That's right.
Golden K. Remember we set somebody a certain person a challenge?
Did. Adam.
Do you remember who that person was?
That was Adam.
Adam who?
Davidson.
Do you know why we chose Adam? I chose Adam Davidson.
Why did you choose Adam Davidson?
Because he claimed he doesn't listen to podcasts anymore.
Oh, right.
And you know what?
Within two days.
The podcast comes out when?
Sunday.
Monday morning. He's on the internet with a golden K.
Rule of composition.
Adam, we proved you listen to the podcast, dude. No more doing it. We've got our listener back, mate. Yeah, we
need to
keep it. It's like a drug.
We're getting dangerously close to double digits. You know that.
Ooh, crazy stuff. But that was the whole reason. I thought it was so funny. I said, let's test him. In my head, I said, let's test him. See if he actually does listen. So, got him good. And what have you been up to the last 2 weeks?
Been taking a bit of a break from Chad's movie.
For photography. Surprise,
yeah. Having issues with my motorcycle today, which I'm not happy about.
I saw the lovely people at whatever the brand of motor, that Triumph, yeah. Not a very triumphant feeling, I'm thinking.
Not at the moment, no.
So, you kind of missing some parts. They have no parts in stock. Surprise.
I just can't get over this. They just don't keep any spares in the country.
Well, it costs money to keep stuff in stock.
You know what? They could just have one more unit of the motorcycle and just keep it in a shed in Melbourne and go, that's our donor bike. Whenever we need a spare part, we'll just pinch it off that bike.
But once you take one part off it, it's gone.
Yeah, but it could be like one of those time lapses of a decomposing body, where it just slowly...
They don't touch the bike, it stays... They've still got all the parts to use.
Hey?
if they don't touch the bike, if they leave it, they have the spare bike, but if they don't take any of the spares off, they've still got a full kit to display, to use.
Just keep the bike,
don't use it. That way they've got one of everything all the time. If they use it, they won't have it again, Bruce.
Yeah, exactly.
Have the bike, but just don't cannibalize. Yeah. But we've got the part, we're just not going to give it to you.
Yeah, exactly.
We'd then be showing zero. We can't have zero. Our computer doesn't like zero.
So anyway, organising, we've got two more photo shoots for the Sydney Photographers Meetup group happening.
What are you doing?
The weekend after this. A model that I've shot with a couple of times in the past, Desiree, reached out to me and she said, "Oh, I'd really love to shoot with you again. Love to do something with horse." And I went, "Yeah,
with you."
Hey.
Nothing.
So I said, "Okay, I'll see what I can organise." So reached out to a friend here on the Central Coast who sort of owes me a favour, and I knew that she had horses. And I said, "Hey, can I bring a bunch of photographers and a model up to your place, and can we shoot with your horse?" And you know, blah blah blah. And she went, "Yeah, look, you can," but she said, "My place is crap." She said, "There's just junk everywhere, and it's just horrible wire fences, and it's just scrub, and it just looks blah." She said, "But I've got friends who are just 20 minutes up the road who've just bought like this multi-million-dollar horse stud, and it's got all these beautiful post and rail fences, and lots of nice yards, and a couple of dams, and so on." So she reached out to them and said, "You know, this guy's interested in doing a photo shoot. Would you be interested in, you know, letting him come along?" And they went, "Yeah." So I got in touch with them, and basically the deal was, you're welcome to come and shoot at our stud, but would you mind shooting a few images that we can use for our website? So I went, "Yeah, that's fine. I can do that." So a bit of quid pro quo.
Yeah.
So we got half a dozen people coming along to that shoot. That's the weekend after Fleetwood Mac, so that's the 21st. And then Taylor.
Any ideas how you're going to make them look any good?
No idea. And Taylor, the girl who was our comic book heroine at meetup number 28.
Yeah.
She sent me a message on Facebook with the photograph, which is on my photo business card, which was one of my film noir images from Film Noir 2, and she said, "Oh, I'd love to do a shoot like this." And I thought, "Yep, and you would rock that look as well." So so I'm organising Noir Trois for the first
noir
week.
Noir Trois. I like that.
Yes.
Noir Trois.
Yeah, for the first week of January, because I figured December.
Yeah, Menage a Trois.
Well, let's not push it too far.
It's only her. She hasn't got a friend.
Oh, no. I'm getting a male model.
It doesn't matter.
Anyway, so I figured December's a bit of a write-off. People go away for Christmas and all that sort of rubbish. So, so we were organising that for the first week of January.
Nice. Because everyone's back first week of January, of course.
Well, yeah, some are. Some aren't. But anyway.
You're happy.
Yeah. So, cool. And she's happy. She's happy to be involved. And the good thing about having the models reach out to me is I'm going to be fairly confident they're not going to flake on me. So.
Yeah, as you know, that's the bane of our existence.
Yeah, exactly.
I had a model that last week, one-on-one, and, you know, using someone for the first ever time. And it's like,
that's always nerve-wracking.
She showed up and she was just had no energy and no life, and she couldn't open her eyes the way I wanted to, and she was driving me crazy, pulling my hair out, and she goes, "Look, I'm sorry, I'm so bad. I was so sick last night. I was up all night vomiting. I've been really, really unwell, but I do want to let you down." So I staggered out of my sick bed to get here.
Wow.
And I'm going, okay. I take back the horrible thoughts I was having about her.
So you'll give her a second chance?
Yeah, it's a fair effort, that, absolutely. Yeah. So, it's tough. It's, when you only got one, if you're only booking one model and that one model chooses not the show.
Oh, yeah.
Damn hard.
Yeah. Yeah, because trying to find someone on, like, 2 hours' notice, that's hard.
Or 15 minutes' notice, which is kind of notice I often get.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, you know, I was supposed to start 15 minutes ago. I'm not coming.
Yeah. So what do you got on your list?
I've been trying to plan my next CPW weekend away.
Oh, okay.
and the weekend
it's
event.
It's been a while since you did one of those.
It's been a long time. I've just been busy doing other stuff. It's like the overseas stuff. I haven't been doing very much because I've just been kind of lazy. So I had this thing. We're going to do it. We had this two locations lined up.
Right? Okay.
One was an old mental asylum.
Nice.
So the weekend was going to be called Psychotic Break because, you know, I like to have mental asylum. And the other one was this underground wine storage. There's like a mile-long tunnel under this winery.
Wow.
Full of all these massive oak barrels and stuff. And stuff. So it's two great locations.
Yeah.
And then Dave Marland, I think he listens. Yeah, he listens. And but he was also finding some other. He lives up in the area. He was finding some other locations for me. And I saw him at the digital show. He goes, I remember this old bloke in town. He's got this massive yard full of all rusty vehicles and horses and stuff.
Right.
Awesome. So he emails me this week. Oh, the asylum's been closed down because of occupational health and safety risks. And the winery's selling, so it's going to be vacated. That's gone. But the rusty yard store there. I've got
jeez.
So you can't have a psychotic break without an asylum.
No.
It ruins all. And I'm only going there because of the name. The name was funny. that's half my battle is naming something interestingly.
Right.
So that's back to the drawing board just a little bit anyway for that one. What have I got on my list? Not a great deal that I'm actually interested in.
Oh, okay.
Oh, one thing I did find that was kind of cool. Have you seen these new Moo cards?
Oh, Moo cards have been around for ages.
Yeah, but they're new ones. I didn't say, have you seen Moo cards? I said, have you seen the new Moo?
No, I haven't seen the new ones. What's new about them?
So, well, they've got basically a chip inside them.
Oh, okay.
That you can program to say, I don't know, but basically is you pull out your business card and you're talking with someone and then you can tap their phone, like a Samsung phone, and it's got an NFC, near field communicating device in it. And your chip is programmed to either open up a particular folio or to open up your website.
Oh, okay.
Just tap the phone and all of a sudden it shows up on their phone.
Nice.
Or you know, you might be talking about weddings or something. Pull out a wedding card and go bang. You might be talking about, you know, corporate stuff, bang, or whatever it may be. And you just tap their phone and all the info comes up on the phone. They've got all your details. They've got everything else. Bang.
Wow.
Which I thought was pretty clever. Unfortunately, it's only for Android or anything with NFC, so nothing for iPhone yet, which is a bit, half the world.
Hey?
But you're halving your market.
Yeah.
And as funny as it may be, you're halving your market, which is never a good thing.
Yeah.
So
just waiting for the other half to catch up, that's all.
You know, I saw articles this week. I saw in 2 days on the same newspaper, right? Yeah. 10 reasons to ditch your Android for the new iPhone 6. Or 10 reasons why the new iPhone 6 is better than Android. Bang. Next day, 10 reasons to dump your iPhone for Android. Really?
Yeah.
Day, oh, God. Unbelievable. Get rid of your Nikon. Start shooting Canon. You'll take better phone photos. Use Android. It makes better phone calls. Because apparently they make phone calls, these things, too.
Right. Who'd have thought?
Apparently, haven't tried it much myself, but I have been playing a lovely new baseball game, though.
Oh, okay. On your iPhone?
I saw this thing. Yeah, my iPhone, yeah. I saw this new thing from on D Preview.
Yeah.
Or DP Review, whichever you prefer. this company called Quantum. They're doing this thing called Quantum Film Sensors.
Right.
And it's a new version of a film sensor, which is not using silicone in the sensor.
Wow!
So it's a completely new kettle of fish, effectively, a whole new technology, and it claims to be better, less noise, bigger dynamic range,
right,
and all this kind of stuff.
So
using nanoscale crystals, apparently.
Okay.
That are precisely sized so they generate electrons in response to specific frequencies of light.
Okay. So it's the camera equivalent of a crystal radio set.
Yeah. We'll have to wait till it warms up.
Yes. You just need to start the camera an hour before you want to shoot.
It's got this. So they're saying here, so the quantum film approach still has benefits, though. One advantage is related to video, where a mechanical shutter can't operate fast enough to be used, so you're stuck with electronic shutter and the well-known artifact known as the rolling shutter effect.
Yep.
Yeah. So this system, with the way the electrodes turn on and off, they can use like a shutter instead.
Right. Oh, okay.
And it gets rid of the need for an actual shutter, and it can shoot video footage where all pixels are captured simultaneously, and there's no rolling shutter.
Right.
So it's kind of interesting.
Interesting. And for those who don't understand the concept of rolling shutter, it's imagine that the refresh rate across the entire sensor was not fast enough, so lines at the top start to refresh before the lines at the bottom have refreshed, and if you happen to be panning left to right, that's typically where you see the worst rolling shutter effect. What happens is you get this skewing of your image from left to right. It sort of looks like it's shearing because it's being refreshed at the top of the frame but not at the bottom of the frame. Make sense?
Huh?
Yeah. That's right. What he
said.
Do you
remember back in the old days when TV used to start to just that little line?
Vertical scroll, yeah.
You just got to whack the back of it, same thing. That's kind of how I have to describe noise in photos to people. So remember when the TV reception wasn't very good, it got staticky? Got to get people to be visual.
Yep.
But you know, all I say is it's great to see something new in the way of a sensor being developed.
Yeah, there's absolutely.
Beyond improving the technology we have.
It will be interesting if it ever comes to market to then see how it performs.
Well, I think they're doing a Kickstarter.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Or I could be completely lying.
But then again, just because they're doing a Kickstarter doesn't mean it'll ever get to market either.
No, it might not get kickstarted.
That's right.
No, they're not kickstarting. I'm just completely lying.
Oh, okay.
But the company has shot a short film with it. There we go.
Oh, okay.
And so, I think it's mostly going to be at the moment, to start with, in smartphones.
It's being designed. Oh, okay.
And so they've got a range of working prototypes that smartphone companies can then come and borrow and test.
Apparently. Right.
So,
yep.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, so it's interesting. It's a whole new world, which is kind of good.
Yep.
And someone's come out. This is a Kickstarter. Someone's come out with a sharper and better color ND filter.
Right. So this was our mate that we spoke to a few weeks ago, who I can't remember his name of, Graham. Can't think of his surname now. This was the guy with his X3 filters.
That's the ones.
Yeah.
Where's mine?
Sitting here in my camera case.
Oh, good on you, dude. There you are, X3 CPL. There you go. World's sharpest circular polarizer.
Yeah, breakthrough photography.
Apparently there's still a Kickstarter going, though.
Right.
According to this.
Okay.
And it comes in from 39mm to 105mm in size.
Wow.
Which is a fair big range, isn't it?
Yeah.
They wanted 30,000 on their Kickstarter project. They're up to 184,000.
Wow.
And there's still 7 days to go.
Nice. So, well, I've got to say, the neutral density filters that they make certainly are the best I've ever used.
Really? Have you used them, have you?
Yeah.
You've used my filter?
Yeah.
How many did you get? Two, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. I got a six stop and a 10 stop. I took them both to Borneo. Yes, I used your filter.
I'm charging you rent.
Yeah, no, they're great. Fantastic filters.
So, good colour?
Yeah, very neutral. Very neutral.
I like my photos to be a bit punchier colour. Does that mean they're going to be a bit flat?
Look, you've still got to work them a little bit, but they're nowhere near as off the chart as my high-tech 10-stop filter, which really? I find, you know, borders on unusable.
Really?
Yep. Very happy with it.
Cool. Well, I'd be happy to try mine.
Oh, I'm sure you would. I'll get it to you eventually. What else you got?
Nothing. But no, I have close but no cigar.
Yeah.
Or as they say in India, close but no sitar. Very different altogether. But this guy who's used like a whole stack of mirrorless cameras.
Right.
Has put together a composite sort of blog post on what's wrong with all of them.
Oh, okay.
So if you're thinking about going mirrorless, why no one yet has a decent mirrorless, how they've all got some problem or another.
Right.
And they're all different problems. So one company's got, or several companies have a solution to one problem, but the company, but they have other problems, and then these people don't have that solution, but they fix the problems that these companies have.
Right.
So he's just trying to go through and saying, why can't you guys just get it right? You know, can't you just listen to what people are asking for? And so, if you are thinking of going mirrorless,
interesting,
maybe it's worthwhile having a look through the blog, get somebody's viewpoint who's used a whole stack of them.
It's one thing I have seen a lot of discussion in the Sony groups on Facebook is that the mirrorless cameras from Sony are fantastic if you're using the new lenses that are being made to go with them.
But
trying to use, particularly using, say, an LAEA4 adapter and using a non-Sony lens has caused massive issues, apparently. People just having problems with the camera randomly rebooting, you know, all sorts of issues like that. So, you know, if you are going to go into the mirror, well, certainly as far as Sony goes, it seems that you've got to invest in the lenses to go with it. You can't just use your old stuff and expect the same level of performance as you would get, you know, if you were using a new lens or if you were using those lenses with a typical DSLR.
Well, speaking of lens issues, I read today, and I didn't know about this, Olympus had halted sales on the Olympus OMD EM10-2 or something.
Right.
Because on certain lenses weren't locking onto the lens mount properly.
Wow.
Consequently, falling off probably. So the halted sales for like 2 months whilst they fixed the problem. Apparently, it's about to be fixed and back on the market. So I wasn't even aware.
How
so if
bizarre.
You bought one of those, if you bought, I'm sure it's the OMD EM10-2 was the model.
Right.
If you've got one of those, maybe it's worthwhile looking into it a bit more, making sure you don't have the lens that falls off.
Yeah.
But yeah, I hadn't heard that anywhere.
No.
Out in the field, so it was a bit of a surprise.
Maybe they haven't shifted that many units of the camera.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'd imagine it's a big seller.
Yeah.
I put a link there for a couple of Joe McNally videos.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people might want a little bit of downtime, want something. One's called Chasing Light. But the reason I put it up there more than anything else, it was his take on natural light.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah. It's known for his flash,
for his off-camera
studio
flash stuff.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, so I thought a little bit of a different perspective, and maybe people enjoy that. And then there's a link on there for, like, that one that goes for like 22 minutes. And there's another one there from a big presentation he did at Photo Plus, I think it was, or one of those big shows.
Yeah.
Goes for like an hour and a half. If
oh, wow.
More in-depth listen, which would cost you a lot of money to go see him.
Yes, talk. It did.
Yes. So, an hour and a half for free on YouTube. Thank you very much.
Nice.
So, yeah, put those in there.
Cool.
There's some Australian photojournalist.
Yeah,
this is on Adam Davidson also put this up, but I got there first, Adam. So you're not listening anyway. But if you're listening, you'd know that. No, I stole your love.
Yeah.
Had to pull himself out of the Nikon Walkley Awards,
right,
for Press Photographer of the Year.
Yeah,
he was nominated down to one of the final three photographers.
Yeah,
and he had to take himself out because he was basically sprung the fact that he had cloned out a piece of straw in the photograph.
Yeah. It's a slippery slope. I say good on him for owning up before being caught out. I can understand why he did it, for just aesthetic purposes.
Yeah.
And you kind of think, well, you know, like, it wasn't like you massively misconstrued the image, you know. It was
everything else was the same.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. It's not like you photoshopped somebody in there. Sorry, you know, gimped somebody in there, you know, who wasn't originally there or something like that. It was just cloning out something that was aesthetically unpleasing. So, you know, good on him for...
How's the chance that somebody took almost an identical photograph at exactly the same moment? And that's how, so it wasn't that someone found his photograph untouched.
Right.
Somebody else had photographed almost exactly the same moment.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, so it wasn't like someone goes, hang on a sec. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was someone had taken at the same time.
Right.
But the rules are no cloning, montaging, or digital manipulation other than cropping, digital spotting, burning, and dodging is permitted.
Right.
But no, yeah. And
well, maybe you just needed to excessively burn and dodge until it disappeared.
Dodge it like crazy. Yes, yeah, so that's, it's, yeah.
It's a tough call. But as I say, it's a slippery slope because you can't just say, oh, well, that was okay because it was only, you know, this random piece of straw that had no impact on the image, because the moment you allow that, you then say, well, okay, at what point is it allowable and at what point is it not allowable? And that's where your slippery slope comes from.
The interesting thing between the two images, actually, just looking at them here now live as we speak, is the guy, is the press photographer guy. He's it's a gorilla with a baby.
Yeah,
he's focused. He's focused on the baby's face.
Yep.
Oh, actually, the baby's face, and the other guy's photographed on the mum's mostly focused on the mum's face.
Right.
So the story is that you look at the two images, they're kind of. Your attention's drawn differently.
Yeah,
yeah. Your eye's drawn to the mum on the one
where he's cloned it out.
Yeah, no. Every time I'm looking at the images, I'm seeing different every time.
Yeah,
I'm not wearing my specs, mind you.
Right.
But if you look at the magnified image, the
where they're side by side
with the straw, which is done by the other person,
yeah,
is sharper than the one done by the pro.
Yeah.
But then again, it's really because he's focused mostly on the baby, once focused mostly on the mum.
Yeah.
So it's a depth of field thing.
Yeah.
Nothing that dramatic, really. But yeah. It burnt 30 seconds of the podcast, so we're doing like that. Now, this is cool. This is kind of cool for any of these nerds out. I mean, lovely listeners who are more handy.
Yeah.
Retrofitting lenses to fit on your DSLR. This guy's got this whole shows how he got an old Lubitel lens from an old twin lens camera and retrofitted it to fit onto a Canon EOS camera.
Right.
And he goes through the whole process and show you how he builds it. So if you've got any old stuff laying around, you might want to tinker.
How silly does that look?
I know, it looks a bit daft.
That looks even sillier than when you see a 70 to 200 on a mirrorless body.
But I've got a little plastic Diana lens that's actually designed for EOS mount.
Oh,
so it's
wow.
Like the old Diana. It's actually, it costs like $20 or something.
Yeah, right.
And the photos are terrible. It's my phone. Yeah, if you want to make it look like a cheap Instamatic, you know, you can just go right ahead and do it.
Yeah, right.
Fabulous.
Cool.
And the last thing I want to talk about, I'm going to skip past the other bits.
Yeah.
This guy's got an old Canon D2000.
Right.
Which is like the first sort of accessible, portable Canon digital SLR.
Yeah.
And
what era are we talking?
98.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And compared it, so he's gone out and photographed with it and a Canon 5DS.
Wow.
And looking at the difference between the two.
Yeah, right.
And, of course, online, which is hard to tell on screen, you go, it just doesn't look that much different. Now, this Canon in 98 was like $30,000 just for the body.
Yeah, right.
So it was pretty expensive piece of kit.
Yeah.
And you go on through, you go, it doesn't look that much different. You know, the dynamic, the quality, the sharpness, the detail. Because one's only like a 2 megapixel.
Yeah, right. You
know? And you go along, go to the next one down. Oh, yeah, it looks pretty darn good too. You know, not quite much detail, but it's acceptable, you know. Yeah. And then you get to the nighttime shot.
Right. Oh!
Oh, my God! So what I think we noticed is that in those intervening 17 years, cameras have come some ways in daytime shots with some detail and more resolution.
Hang on. 5DS, am I right in thinking, does not have an anti-aliasing filter?
Well, no, I would imagine it does. Isn't it the R that doesn't?
Oh, is it? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
See, I'm not a Canon specialist. I just knew that they had released a camera without the filter. And I wonder whether that is playing a part there. But if it's not the 5DS...
If it doesn't have a filter, it'd be sharper.
Hey?
But if it didn't have a filter, it'd be sharper.
I'm saying that if the 5DS is the one without the anti-aliasing filter, that might have something to do with why its nighttime images are so much better. But even so, I mean... The nighttime image from the D2000 is pretty woeful.
there is a more noticeable difference between the two.
Yes, just somewhat.
There has been some improvement in high ISO performance.
Yes,
over the journey. What I love the fact he's still watermarked his really bad high ISO so much you can't even really see his watermark.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's kind of a cool little experiment. Yeah. Seeing this change over the years, which is kind of fun, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, that's it.
Very interesting.
On my waffle and ramble.
Cool.
And what else you got?
Okay, couple of things that I wanted to mention was, first of all, the Pass the Camera Project number 2, we are now taking entries for. So if you haven't put your name on the list, please do.
You should put a disclaimer for this.
Yes, I'm getting to it.
Okay, go on.
This time around, we're not sending a disposable camera.
No.
We are sending an SLR film camera.
Are we?
With a nifty 50.
Really?
Yes.
So that weighs a lot more.
It does weigh a lot more, and I've explained that, and everyone's cool with that. It does mean that the postage costs are going to be a little bit more expensive than they were the last time around.
Technical term, a ton more expensive. Well, basically, if you want to airmail this sucker,
yeah,
be prepared for 40, 50, 60 bucks in postage.
Right.
You want to snail, I'm just talking about people from overseas.
Yeah.
If you want to ship this around in Australia, you're probably looking at 18, 20 bucks.
Yep.
Postage.
Yep.
Overseas, 50, 60 buck commitment to be part of the project.
Yeah.
Just warning.
Yep. No, that's fair enough. That's fair enough.
Otherwise, it goes by a slow boat, and then it will be a 2-year project.
And it will be a long project. Absolutely. And I get that. And look, you know, if people find that when the camera gets to them that they do have to ship it somewhere and it is going to be expensive and you want to send it surface mail, that's fine. Do that. Just let me know so that we know to expect a lengthy delay. I'm not really cut up about that. If that's what happens, that's what happens. But I think...
Just warning. Just yeah. Warning that, that
yeah.
You could be... We'll try and pick on a rich person. Yeah, someone who's got more expensive camera gear than us.
Yeah.
And we'll send the camera to them if they're the ones who have to send it overseas. Yeah.
Fair enough. But anyway, but I just thought, you know, this will give people the opportunity to do something a little more creative than you can do with a disposable camera. And depending on how well this works, we'll then decide with project number 3 what we do. We might go back to a disposable if this just becomes too expensive and too cumbersome to send around. So
I still want to do the digital one.
Yeah, you can do your iOS project all by yourself.
I think it's an awesome idea.
Why don't you send your iPhone around? There you go.
No, because I could do that. I've got 5 of them.
Yeah, there you go.
But we should send a digital file. We'll just send the digital camera around.
Oh, the app.
Which you, and it, yeah, and so, you know, so and you send it around. So I take a photograph and I forward the whole app to the next person. Yeah. They take a photo and they forward the app. So that's... Yeah.
For everyone that's on an iPhone, that's fine.
Yeah. Or the smart people, yeah. Yeah. I'll give you 10 reasons why you should ditch your Android.
So anyway, if you check out the Shutterzinc page on Facebook, you'll find that there's the link to the Pass the Camera project. If you haven't already signed up and you'd like to be part of it, we'd love to have you involved. And yeah, it's ready to roll as soon as we get a couple more people on board. Story that came out.
Just a little. Just the way you're phrasing that, came to mind.
Yeah.
The way you're phrasing the project came to mind that we should send round a camera made out of pasta.
What? A pasta camera.
It's like, I said, I want a statue of baby Jesus. Jesus. You get the thing. It could be like a pinhole camera, but it's a pasta hole camera.
Oh dear. So this story came out last week when we were supposed to record but didn't, so it's a little bit old now, and that was the day that Rupert Murdoch took over control of National Geographic.
Yeah.
They laid off over 500 people. Basically, everyone had been advised as they arrived at work to stay close to the phone because you're going to get a call from the HR department. And basically, you know, they all suspected the worst and, you know, were hoping...
At least they weren't disappointed.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You've got to take the positive out of everything, Bruce.
Sorry?
You've got to take the positive out of everything.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, so what sort of future the magazine has now, who knows? Can't say I'm...
I'm going to look up something. The David, our friend, we haven't mentioned for a while, so
yeah.
We should... David Duchemin put on Instagram today.
Right.
Oh, that's the wrong David.
Well, while you're looking for that, I'll talk about the next story. And this was sent in by Carl. And this was a blog post on Petapixel about if you find that your Lightroom catalog is starting to slow down as you add more and more and more and more images to it, It could be that the cache setting default value is too low. And so, yeah, this is a real easy fix. You can go into Lightroom's preferences and click the file handling tab. And I think by default, on Windows at least, I think it defaults to a 1 gig cache. And the guy who was writing this post had been talking with the Lightroom tech support via their live chat window thingy. And he increased it to like 70 gigabytes. I think they went in steps to like 20 gigs and then 50 gigs and then 70 gigs. And it all comes down to how many images you've got in your catalog. But he said that significantly boosting the size of the cache for your catalog makes a huge difference to how quickly Lightroom responds. So thank you for that one, Carl. That's a good tip for anyone that's, you know, starting to build up a significant collection of images. So have you found what you're looking for?
Yes.
Right. What do you got?
What?
You're interrupting my flow. What do you got?
No. So he's put this thing up, and it was, and beginning is what matters. Doing, making, trying, risking, falling, trying again. That's where the real learning happens. This goes out to this really, really great photographer I know, New South Wales lady, who's really struggling at the moment with getting past the blockage, right?
Right.
And it wasn't so much that he put up, but he's going on, I don't know what your dreams are or how many setbacks you've had, but I know this, nothing happens without taking that first or that next step. Scared? Of course. The more important it is that we do something, the more we have to risk. But the thing we have to gain is almost always worth more than whatever it is we think we're risking. Risk is inherent. We risk when we do, but usually risk more when we do not. Do, friends. Do with all your heart. Fail with all your heart. Pick yourself up and do again. This time your heart will be a little larger. That's what failing and learning with grace does for us.
Nice.
But to me, the thing is, fail with all your heart.
Yep.
You know, and so I put up a line from a Bruce Cockburn song, which is, you have to kick at the darkness till it bleeds daylight.
That's right, yep.
I love that line.
From the song Lovers in a Dangerous Time.
Which is a crap song.
It is an awesome song.
His version is diabolically bad.
What?
But if you listen to the Bare Naked Ladies version.
I didn't know they'd done a cover of it.
It's phenomenal. It was from a cover album that they had. You can look it up after this. It walks all over his version. Don't watch the video because they're a bit silly looking at it.
Yeah.
But listen.
Right.
And but that line, you know, kick at the darkness till it bleeds daylight. Yeah. You know, creatively, it's just what we've got to keep doing, you know?
Yeah.
I'm really struggling at the moment to do anything that I'm even remotely happy with.
Really?
Just
is that because everything you're shooting is part of a workshop? You're not actually getting out and shooting for the fun of it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's because you're doing the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, it tends to kill you creatively. But
yeah.
So it's tough. You're taking photos that's not uplifting to you.
Yeah.
It's not satisfying. It's not, oh, I love that. Yeah. I've taken one. And as usual is the case, the photo you like the most, no one else seems to like.
Yeah, right.
I did this shot at the Flash Workshop last Saturday.
Yeah.
And we've just done this. I just diabolically tried to do something with red fabric in it. It was just a nightmare. You should never work with fabric at workshops because in blowing wind, it's one minute it's great, next second it's crap, and there's no consistency. And
yeah,
and when you've got multiple people trying. But so then I moved to using a different type of fabric. But I had this idea that I wrapped the model up in this fabric. But when I took the shot, the flash reflected off the wall behind her.
Oh, I saw this shot, yeah.
Right, it was halo.
It looked awesome.
I know, just around her, though.
Yeah.
So this accident of reflection just from the flash not being covered made the shot good. But it's like, and people at the workshop said, we knew it was good when we looked at your expression. Yeah, the expression when you looked at your screen was, one photo in a long time that's really made me go, oh, I love that, you know?
Yeah, right.
But then you put up on social media and it's like, yeah, crickets.
Yeah, right.
Funny stuff. But yeah, kick at the night till it bleeds daylight. I think I love that line. So.
Kick at the darkness, yep.
The darkness, is it? Until it bleeds daylight.
Yep.
Are you a Cockburn fan, eh?
I am a Cockburn fan, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't get into his more recent stuff as much as I did the stuff that he was doing in the 90s and the early noughties. The albums from Nothing But a Burning Light.
You've got a good memory.
Yeah. No, that album in particular is brilliant.
So that's got to be early 90s.
Nothing But a Burning Light? No, I would have said late 90s.
Okay, because
I might be wrong.
Because their cover would have been from like 93.
Oh, okay.
So it has to be, yeah. This is fascinating conversation
it
about
is
this.
Epic conversation.
You know, that's why they keep coming back.
That's right. You
know? It makes their life look good by comparison. Yeah. You know,
hang on,
how bad things are going for them.
That's right. No, I've got to look it up now. I've got to look it up.
We are not as pathetic. We are not as pathetic as these two guys.
You're right. 1991. There you go. Nothing But a Burning Light. So there you go. Anyway, moving right along.
My wife said to me once. You're right.
Once. all right, so moving on, the stuff from Carl. This was another Better Pixel article. Photographer travels across the US with his camera, his girlfriend, and an LED hula hoop.
Oh, it's been done how many times?
Oh, I don't know, but it was a good series of images, and it was a nice story. She just graduated from college, and they did this road trip across the US, and he wanted to get some memorable, you know, portraits of her along the way, and so they stopped at all these awesome locations and did these, you know, time delayed hula hoop shots, and yeah, it's a fun collection.
I don't think it's ever been done before. That was my sarcasm about it.
Oh, okay. Right.
How many times you've got across America with a LED hula hoop? Everyone's done that. Yeah. Did that twice last year. No. Seeing a couple of those shots, you remember those old Spirax type, I don't know what the things are, that little thing you used to have with the paper and you spin these little things you make patterns with? Spirals, all the different spirals, like a kid's toy.
Right. Oh, okay. Yeah.
It'd be kind of cool if you could do something like that with this sort of light.
Right.
Yeah, create these really intricate patterns in the air.
Are you not seeing that in some of these images?
Only one has a decent pattern to it.
Right.
But I'm talking about actual shapes. He's got one that's got like bunny ears or something.
Yeah, yeah.
But where you can actually create an actual full-on, really complex, shape.
Right.
Anyway, back to the people with no life.
I thought there was some interesting stuff there.
It's a cool idea.
Yeah. Next up was a guest blog Wednesday featuring Mark Rodriguez, and this was on scottkelby.com. And to be honest, I haven't had a chance to have a look at this, but he put
it's
in...
It's great, though. Definitely go read it.
Oh, really?
I don't know. I'm
okay.
Trying to pump it up.
Oh, right. Okay. And the last one from Carl, and Adam also sent us this one, was the decoy portrait session. And this was interesting. They got an actor, and they got a bunch of different photographers, and they told each photographer a different fake life story for this actor and had him sit for a portrait playing the role of this fake life story. So, you know, in one instance, he was, you know, just an average Joe worker. In another, he was an ex-con. In some other thing, he was like a CEO. And it was just interesting to see how the different photographers took a different approach to the way they shot his portrait, depending on what they believed to be his story, even though it was all completely fabricated. So it was interesting.
Guys, go back just one.
Right.
That Scott Kelby one?
Yeah.
The photos are awesome.
Are they?
Oh, they're brilliant. So you've definitely got to go look at that. They're just absolutely awesome.
Okay.
Some really clever stuff. So I'm glad we saw that.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. The guy with his self-portraits. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, really cool.
Nice. So, nice stuff. Okay, and then we got a few from Adam. The first of which was the Leica pen and lighter accessories that you can buy. I immediately thought of my mum when I saw this, who was always saying to me, "A fool and his money are soon parted." So this is a key ring, a pen, and a cigarette lighter, all going I want to say the brand 0.95, and it's to sort of tie in with their f0.95 lens. Like, it has an aperture of less than one. And what are you giggling about?
It's just... Go on.
What?
I was looking at other stuff.
Thank you for staying focused.
What? Oh, why? How many episodes are we in? Why should I start now?
Fair enough.
It's only Adam's stuff. He doesn't listen to podcasts anyway. He won't know whether he's listening or not.
The next one was a video that NASA have put up of the moon landing shot from the moon. So we've all seen the still photographs, but this is actually a short piece of video footage.
So they sent someone up first to film it coming in.
That's exactly right, yes. No. So they've set up a video camera on a tripod while, you know, they're getting ready to plant their flag in the moon dust. And got to say, video is nowhere near the quality of the still images that we've all seen and know and love.
Well, there's a big difference in technology in those
days. Oh, yes. Absolutely. Next one was... This is the travel story that Glyn alluded to earlier on, and this was on fstoppers.com. And basically, this is one guy's travel backup photography kit. Glyn, you had a pretty good handle on this. Do you want to talk us through it?
Me?
Yeah, you.
Talk technical stuff.
You'd be the only Glyn here, yes.
In fact, I'm one of the few anyway. I'm the only Glyn Lavender in the world.
Is that right?
I am.
Wow.
For better or worse, because it's such a common name, both first and surname. Yeah. Well, basically, this guy was going to go off traveling, and he's going to be 3 weeks away from power.
Right.
3 weeks away from any ability to back up stuff. And he wanted to get some sort of backup solution for his images whilst traveling, which is fair enough.
Yep.
He initially looked into the Western Digital My Wireless Passport thingamajig, the one that you got, the Wi-Fi one that you had so many problems with.
Yep.
What's it called?
Yeah. My Passport Wireless.
My Passport doesn't work. Yeah. And he dismissed it straight away because it was a spinning
good
hard
choice.
Drive.
Good choice.
Spinning hard drive. So he didn't want to have to deal with if it took a drop.
Yep.
So he wanted an SSD. Okay. So he wanted a solid state drive.
Yep.
Then he had to try and find a way to both power it and also transfer images from a memory card straight to it.
Right.
So he came up with a system. He got a thing called a RAV Power File Hub, RPWD03.
Right. Board,
which is basically an external battery pack, like you'd use if you're charging your phone. You know, yep. One of those things you can charge your phone. But it's also got an SD card reader built into it.
Right.
And it's a wireless router.
Right.
Okay. So you can the concept of this is basically is you can carry this device around, and let's say if you had an iPad and you had movies or something on your SD card, or it also takes a USB card, a USB stick from memory as well.
Yep.
You can then just stream by Wi-Fi from this device onto your iPad.
Right.
But carry everything around. So he's got this. It's called a wireless travel router. It's got an SD card reader, 6,000 milliamp external battery, boom, boom, boom. So you can basically control, you can put the SD card straight into this unit,
yep.
Access it with his iPhone.
Right.
Connect a SSD hard drive to it, because this unit will power certain SSD drives.
Right.
Just like it's a battery pack, so it's powered up, and then transfer the photos using his phone, transfer them onto the hard drive.
Okay. But the guy's going 3 weeks without power. How's he recharging his iPhone?
Well, this thing, with the same device, this device will charge, it's a 6,000 milliamp battery, so it'll charge his iPhone too.
How many times?
A few.
What's the milliamp hour rating of the battery in an iPhone?
I don't know, it's 1,500, 1,300, something like that.
Right, so at most he's going to get 4 charges of his phone without powering anything else.
Yeah.
That's not going to get him through 3 weeks.
Well, he might not shoot as many as other people. He reckons he's only shooting maybe a couple of hundred gig, I think he said, over that duration of time.
Wow, okay.
But I've been looking around. There's quite a few of these sort of things around. There's quite a lot of these devices are out in the boot.
Yeah.
And he's got the whole thing set up in a... Here we go. She goes, for the next 6 hours, I copied card after card to the SSD, relentlessly trying to drain the battery. It was enough to power both the SD card and the SSD for just over 300 gigabyte of transferred from 7 memory cards. Right. So that's kind of what I got out of it.
Okay.
So, yeah, but oh, he also takes a solar panel.
Yeah, I saw that, but he said it takes 7 hours to charge the device. I'm thinking, well, there's a whole day. You obviously are not going to be travelling anywhere, because if you need to have that set up for 7 hours to charge, then...
Depends how you're travelling. If you're hiking,
yeah,
you could have it on the outside of your backpack.
Possibly.
If you're driving in a car...
Stick it on the roof?
Or the back window. Yeah, put it somewhere where it's got access to light.
Yeah.
So it's possible.
Okay.
And let's face it, just to get a full charge, if you only got, say, a quarter charge out of it,
yeah,
it's still usable. It's still going to transfer over 50, 60, 100 gig worth of photos, which is 3 or 4 16-bit
cards. Not an insignificant quantity.
Especially if you're travelling for most of the day. So the point is, it is reasonably possible to do.
Yeah, cool.
So I'm starting to look into this for India.
Yeah, right.
Also for places like Ethiopia.
Mate, that's 4 months away. There will be a whole new range of better options by then.
Oh, yeah. my Wi-Fi has stopped working on my camera.
Oh, okay.
Which is weird. So I used to have the digital show 2 weeks ago. It was all working perfectly fine, Wi-Fiing straight onto the screen.
Right.
Now, nada.
Yeah.
Oh, scary.
How bizarre.
Drives you crazy. This technology drives you crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, that was kind of a cool idea. Anyway, if you're looking for solutions, there's lots of different ways to skin a cat, as they say in the classics.
Yeah. Second last one from Adam. This was on DIYphotography.net about a photographer who's filing a lawsuit against Universal Pictures because they used an image of his, which he had licensed to Apple. And Universal Pictures were making a movie about Steve Jobs and then went ahead and used that image because it was famous image, and it was used for an Apple ad campaign. And there's a section of the movie where Steve Jobs is talking to someone about using this image, and Universal Pictures went ahead and used that image without licensing it from the photographer. And so he's having to launch a lawsuit against Universal for... lost potential revenue, from their failing to license the image. So
amazing, isn't it?
Bit naughty on the part of Universal. And the last one was a video, again on DIYphotography.net, about how the military trained its photographers in 1965. To be honest, Adam, this was a little bit too long for me. It was, I think it was about 25 minutes it went for. I watched about the first 2 or 3 minutes and went, yawn.
Did you learn anything, though?
No. how wooden the acting was in 1965.
But the comment on DIY is, it's interesting to see how much has changed in the last 50 years, but maybe even more so how much has remained almost unchanged.
Right.
So it's kind of interesting if you go through and say, well, that hasn't changed. There's a lot of constants still in photography that things just are no different.
Right.
And I find this all the time. People go, oh, I used to be really good back in the days of film, but digital just throws me. What, in taking the photo? The cameras are so... shutter speed is an aperture, is an ISO.
Exactly,
that's going to be... I might even sit down and watch 2 or 3 minutes of that myself.
Excellent.
Tell you what, I'll watch the last 2 or 3 minutes.
I was going to say, pick a different 2 or 3 minutes to the ones I watched.
I'll get the conclusions. Yeah.
Excellent. All right, well, I think that will do it for this week.
It's more than enough punishment for everybody, isn't it?
Yes.
It's like an hour of punishment.
That's right.
That's what you get for not liking us last week.
That's right. So what do you got on this week?
Another one-on-one tomorrow.
Yep.
Then taking the weekend off because it's just been too much.
It's all been too much.
I've got 2 one-on-ones next week. Oh, God.
My goodness.
So 2 in a row.
How will you cope?
I've got to work 2 days in a row. Not even a day off in between to rest.
That's just inhumane. The humanity.
They're working me hard. And I put on a special extra one-on-one because I've been doing this half-price promo.
Right.
And I succumbed to buying my daughter Taylor Swift tickets.
Oh, nice.
wife to take for the first her first day. She just loves the pizzas. And she's had quite a bunch of her school friends are going. And yeah. She doesn't even know she's even coming yet, but that she's going to be talking to other parents. Yeah. So she's going to find out. She's going to be gutted. So I succumbed to spending $600 on two tickets.
That's what it cost me for two tickets to Fleetwood Mac.
So I put on a one-on-one day to pay for it.
Nice.
The sacrifices we do. Yeah. So I kind of think we're revenue neutral. She gets to go. I'm going to work for a few hours, but she gets to go for and see something, and it doesn't impact the family finances.
Yeah,
so
nice. Kind of cool. Nice.
So it'd be a nice thing for her.
And she will love that.
She's going to explode.
Yep.
Yeah, if you go into the show on Friday, December 11 in Melbourne, and you're in section D3, wear a weatherproof coat, because when she explodes, it's going to be much easier to get out of off of something that's rinsable than like normal fabric. Boom.
All right, mate. Well, you have a good week.
I will, and you too.
Yep.
I hope your motorcycle gets fixed.
It is now fixed.
Oh,
but the here's the annoying part, right?
Please.
The bike is under warranty.
Yeah.
One part has failed. Yeah. No spares in the country. 4-week back order. The dealership said, we can fix this.
Uh-oh.
But Triumph won't cover it as a warranty repair because it's not an authorized repair.
Yeah.
So I had to fork out $400 to get the dealership to fix the problem.
And if they'd waited for the part to come in, it would have been free.
Yes.
Yeah.
But for 4 weeks, I'd have to be parking on tops of hills so that I could roll start the bike.
Do you know what I'd do?
What?
I'd make them order in that part.
I have. They are ordering it in.
Get your one fixed.
Yeah.
And tell them you want them to give you that part for free.
Yeah.
No, I want that. I'll be your bloody spares. I'll hold your spares for you. So if they're ordering in, why is the fix only temporary, is it?
Well, presumably not. I suspect that the fix that the dealership has done will be perfectly adequate for the rest of the life of the bike.
I'll go and ask for another one anyway.
Yeah.
Give it to me.
But the thing is, what am I going to do with it?
Doesn't matter. They don't have it.
Yeah.
That's what matters. Okay, mate. Well, good luck with all that.
Thank you, mate. You have a good week.
Enjoy your week. Bye, everyone.
See ya.
Thanks for listening.
Shutterzing, another audio2you.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shutterzingpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shutterzingpodcast.com.